Okay, go ahead, Howard.
Okay, on John 10, 7. Well, it's down further than that, but he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enters, he shall be saved. And then the next part of the verse says, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. What does that mean spiritually?
Yeah, we're my take on that is that we're not bound up. Okay, we're not in a tight constraint. We still have the liberty. Amen. We're not robots. Let's put it that way. The sheep are protected, but they're also sent out to pasture where they can feed on the provision that God has for them. It seems like there's two things. There's one, they're in an enclosure. He is the door, the door of entry. But somebody gave me that word one time, a long, long time, way back in the 1970s. They read that verse to me, and I wasn't sure what they really meant by it. But anyway, I believe the word was they were telling me that that we had come into a place in the Lord where He would send us out and use us for His purpose as well.
And protect us that way.
Yeah. Now,
Yeah.
somebody else maybe has a better take on that than I do.
I had something come to my mind on that very thing when you read that scripture when it said you come in and out and go to pasture, and I actually consciously thought, now what does that mean? And the thought that came to me was, once something is settled with you and God, like you remember, I think it was Elijah that said, how long halt ye between two opinions? It's like once you've got it settled and you're God's and you're not going to be affected by every wind and wave, and you've repented of what you needed to repent for, and you're in a good place with God, now you can go out and still do some things of the Lord. Like when it says go in and out into pasture, you can still live your lives. You could still have a job, you could still, have some relaxation and whatnot, but first you've got to have your place with God settled. Like so many of us go in and out, and it talks about there's a time when you won't go out anymore. So I think that's what came to my mind when that scripture was read. And then I had a comment to make on several other things on today's word. I wrote them down here as they came to me. Mark talked about that light in the ark, maybe it was just God. And I remember one of the great men of God, I don't remember who it was, it might have been Smith Wigglesworth or Rees Howells or one of those guys. Maybe somebody will remember when I tell this. But one of them on the Sabbath used to lock himself in his shop and do woodwork. And some guy came to visit him someday, and he looked through the window, and there was a glow around whoever this was. There was a glow around his head as he was working on his lathe or whatever it was, And so that light is very real. Remember when Moses came down from the mountain, he glowed. And when Christ met with I think it was Moses and Elijah, he was glowing, So there's God really can produce a real light, And then we talked today about from the Old Testament to the New, and the thought that came to me in the Old Testament, Noah was loading actual animals in the ark, but in the New Testament, where are those animals? Where are the ones that are to come into that provision of safety? And then Mark mentioned there was two things that could keep us out. He mentioned the door being closed and unbelief. And a third one came to my mind. Remember in Hebrews when Paul, I guess, wrote Hebrews, I think, and he said, when it came time to inherit the blessing. Now, that was interesting to me because that's when it becomes real for somebody. Until then, they're kind of, oh, well, we got time, whatever. But when it came time for the blessing, Esau sought it with tears, but he found no place of repentance. So it's like, I feel like non-repenting is another thing that can keep you out. Like, if you remember, Jesus said one time, if your righteousness is not more than these guys, you're going to die in your sins. We don't want to get to that day and not put away our sins, because it says Esau sought it carefully with tears and yet couldn't find it. I just feel like it was, he had turned so far so long that he just wasn't able to do it anymore. So his not repenting was keeping him from entering the rest in the promised land also. And then one other thing was, Mark mentioned when Jesus said, I know you not from whence you are. And he said, you know, where are you coming from? Well, where the normal mind goes when they hear that, where are you coming from? They think, what place are you coming from? I don't know you from the place you're coming from. But to me, it hit me as, I don't know where you are spiritually, not the place you're coming from, but where are you spiritually? I don't know you spiritually. You know, I don't know you from whence you are. Where are you? And then lastly, there's another thing I don't fully understand, and I'm hoping maybe someone has a little more revelation on this, and that is when they made the statement that give us of your oil, and they said, not so, lest there not be enough for both of us. Now, I don't understand that, because if they would have just said, I can't give that to you, I totally understand that, because that's something you can't give somebody else. They've got to get it themselves. It's got to be God in their life and them. You know what I mean? I can't give you Christ. Nobody can give anybody Christ, you know? And so if they'd have just said, we can't give it to you, sorry, I'd understand it. But when they said not, there wouldn't be enough for both of us, I don't understand that. So I'm hoping somebody can shed a little light on that one.
Well, am I muted? I'm not muted. Well, if I were able to give it to you, if I could give you oil, I would run out of oil.
Do you think that's so though, Mark? You'd think if you had God, you could give him off and you'd still have plenty.
Yeah, but you can't give it away, because you've got all you need, but you've got all you need, but you've got only what you need. If the righteous be scarcely saved. You might think you have a great abundance of oil, but you've got just enough that's going to get you through, and you can't get rid of any of it.
If you gave half your righteousness away, would you get into heaven?
I don't think so. God is going to get us saved, and what he's doing for us is, there's not more grace than what we need. We've got exactly what we need. I see Daniel nodding his head on that one.
Yeah, amen. Well, we can only give what we have been giving, but the oil and the anointing, it belongs to him.
Amen.
So it have to be him that give it. But I was thinking about the ark, because I have been studying the ark a little bit, and I found out that the same word ark is used in the ark of Noah and ark of Moses. It is the same word in Hebrew 8:83-92. But the Ark of the Covenant have another name. It's 8:7-7. So I was thinking, well, there is a three type of Ark, but the last one have a special number, 7:27. But there is a one Ark more. And I was blessed to see these things, because in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 26, it's about Joseph. When he died, they put him into coffin. And this word coffin is translated like a coffin, but it have the name, same number as the Ark of the Covenant. It's 8:7-7. So there is a two Ark. Ark of Noah and Moses have the same name, but the Ark of the Covenant and the coffin that Joseph was put in have the same name. So I thought it was quite special to see that they were carrying Joseph through all the journey in this type of ark.
Yeah. Mike, there's another verse that Rita mentioned here. Woe unto those that give suck in those days. I think this is people who are allowing the oil to be fed out of them to somebody else. And it's not going to go well for them, because they're not going to have enough themselves. We have to see, basically, and ensure to our own salvation. You're going to try to be a pastor to everybody in the world, you're going to be giving suck. Draws the life out of you. People do that, by the way. People will do that. They'll suck the life right out of you.
Yeah, everything that was said helped me a little bit understand on that. And then lastly, I wanted to just say something about the ark. You know, we need to know what the ark is today and what it means to us, because the ark is actually a container, and what was in that container were the tablets of the law, Aaron's rod that budded, and the golden pot of manna. And Jesus said, I am the manna come down from heaven. Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. Jesus was the one that had life in him. So that container, the Ark of the Covenant, that means a container that contains a promise, because a covenant is a promise. So the container, the Ark is the container that contains the promise, which who was that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Ark. It's not a boat. It's not some golden box they carry around. That was in the Old Testament. And when we switch to the New Testament, the ark is Jesus, and he is what's going to save us, just like the ark is what saved Noah. The ark is what saved Israel when they took it into battle. So to enter the ark is us getting into Jesus. That's the one thing we need to concentrate today on. The ark is Jesus is the ark. He's our safety. He's our saving. He's going to be what's protect us when this all comes down on the earth. So we must enter him, because he is the ark. Amen.
Yeah, and he is the door. And I had another verse. I don't know where it is. I thought I wrote it down somewhere. But he said, I am the life. How does it say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you're going to have to go through Christ. You're going to have to be in Christ. Amen. Go in unto Christ and be in him. And that, by the way, is the definition, the difference between the holy place and the outer court. Outer court, Christ in me. Holy place, I'm in Christ. Christ in me, I go wandering places that he wouldn't want to go. I'm in Christ, I don't go anywhere except where Christ goes.
He speaks also about in Ezekiel chapter 14 about Noah, Daniel, and Job. They could only deliver themselves by the righteousness of God. So it means that the righteousness of God is going to be what we need in this time. And it is not something that we can give to someone else. It belongs to us as our things to stay in and be in. And this is something that our life and our walk is a testimony to people, that when they see these things in our life, they know they have to do that by themselves.
To put into layman's terms what Daniel just said, there's no coming in on any coattails.
There is something to be said for you and your house. There is still something to be said for that. Up to a point. I believe that there will be households that will be saved and protected in these last days. Even as Noah and his house was protected. I don't know the situation with Noah's wife. I don't know who she is. There's a strange name given here in the book of Genesis, a strange name of a woman, and there seems to be no reason for her name being given there unless she happens to be Noah's wife. And she comes from the line of Cain, by the way. And I'll read the verse here. It's in verse 4:22. And Zilah also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor in every artifice of brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. What purpose is that name given there? Who is she? Why is she even mentioned? There's nothing else said about it. I thought it was very interesting. Anyway, we're talking about Noah and his household. I believe there was a certain amount of carnality in some of his children. Especially, we find some things that Ham was doing. That he might not have been the most righteous fellow around. And yet he was saved because he was in the household with Noah. So there's something to be said. Paul said to the Philippian jailer, you and your house, your whole house is going to be saved here tonight. So maybe as the household clings to the covenant that the head of the household has, and they cling to that, it does provide a measure of salvation for them. In the covenant, they're in the same covenant. Covering, yeah. Even in the New Testament, Paul says if a man is married to a woman who is an unbeliever, she's under the covering with that man, with the believer.
Mark, I wanted to know, what you said it's covered, your family's covered up to a point. What point is that?
Well, they can rebel and they can come out of that covering. Now, during the time in the ark, there was no opportunity for any of those sons to rebel. But apparently there was something in at least one of them that was very distressing to Noah, that he even cursed the son Canaan. Yet he got carried through the terrible time of tribulation by his association and his adhering to that covenant of his father. Anyway, that's opening up another door, isn't it? Probably take us a long time to work that one out. Well, it looks like our time has come. I'm full. I've had a good meal. And I'm satisfied. Those are just people saying amen and praise the Lord, I think. Let's see what they were. Oh, yeah, there it is. John 14:16. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Somebody added that chat. Well, let me shut the recording off.